From Hook and Bullet to Policy and Science, we're here to discuss and dissect all matters of importance to Montana's rugged landscape and the people and wildlife that call it home. This is Montana Untamed. The Smith River is a crown jewel of Montana's natural splendor, but a proposed copper mine at its headwaters in central Montana has many people worried about negative impacts to the river's pristine waters. After years of litigation, the state Supreme Court approved a mine permit for the operation back in February, but environmental groups also took the state to court over the mine company's water permit, a key regulatory hurdle for mine construction and operation to commence. On March 29th, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments in Missoula over the mine as a part of the court's annual visit to the law school at the University of Montana. There's no decision yet, but a decision either way will set precedent in Montana and could have wide-ranging effects. Typically, Billings Gazette reporter Brett French would be on as we discuss the Smith River. But with me today is Joshua Murdoch, outdoors and natural resources reporter at the Missoulian newspaper, who reported in person on the oral arguments. So, Josh, set the scene. What's going on here? Briefly catch folks up on the lead up to this, or what the question at hand was.
Right. So just kind of explaining where this is and what the scene is. You get the Smith River in central Montana. It's a lot of it, like a 60-mile stretch, is protected, flows through a state park with huge canyon walls towering over it. It's so popular that it's the only river in the state that you have to apply through a lottery system for a permit just to float it. And more than 12,000 people tried to get one of those permits this year. Meanwhile, there's an underground copper mine proposed for the Black Butte area of Maher County, about 12 miles north of White Sulphur Springs. It's 11 miles east of the upper Smith River itself, but it's right along the Smith River headwaters tributaries of Sheep Creek and Big Butte Creek. The company that is trying to develop this mine, called Sandfire Resources. They were previously called Tintina, and that's how they're listed in all the court documents. They hope to produce 14.5 million tons of copper-loaded rock from a more than 1,800-acre area over about 13 years. And they've done some surface prep for that, but they're still tied up trying to get the permits to actually dig into the ground and build this underground mine. The issue here is a permit for water use. You know, they have to pump and move a lot of water to conduct mining, and they need to get a permit for that. So how much water they're required to get a permit for comes down to the legal interpretation of the word use. Literally, what activities do or do not constitute a use of water? Because things that are a use of water require a permit. Things that are not considered legally a use of water, they don't have to get a permit for. And that's what the court is trying to figure out. It's the first time that the Montana Supreme Court has directly had to answer the question, what constitutes a use of water in this state?
Right. So can you flesh out for folks, you kind of started there, flesh out for folks, what does this water have to do with these proposed mining activities?
Right. So let's say they go ahead, they excavate, they dig out this mine. Well, when they dig into the ground, groundwater is just going to flood the mine completely. And the mine will be totally full of water, so they won't be able to actually mine it. So that water needs to be pumped out of the mine in a process called dewatering. If they dewater the mine, pump all the mine or all the water that fills up the mine naturally out of the mine, then they can go in and actually mine it. So the mine operator, Tintina, they plan to pump or dewater 263 million gallons every year. But the DNRC which oversees and regulates water usage and water use permits, they chose to only regulate about 43% of that total, or 114 million gallons. Because out of the 263 million gallons that could be pumped out of this mine annually, Tintina only plans to use 43% of it, or that 114 million gallons, to also process the ore once it's pumped out of the ground. Whereas the remaining 57% of that water, they're going to pump it out, and it's just going to go somewhere else. So the DNRC said they're only going to regulate less than half. They're only going to provide oversight of less than half of these hundreds of millions of gallons that is proposed to come out of the mine.
So I feel like there's more to this, what the story is on this other 57% of the water that was, which was not regulated by DNRC.
Yeah, so DNRC essentially said, we only have the authority to stop people from activities that are deemed a waste of water, or to regulate through water use permits activities that are a use of water. So it said, hey, that water that you're going to also use to process ore, you're using that water, we're going to, you know, you have to apply for a permit for it. They did that. So DNRC analyzed the effects of that and issued a permit. So the big issue here is this other 57%. The plan for that is to simply return it to the ground elsewhere to recharge the groundwater aquifer. But in between that, in between pumping it out when they dewater the mine and pumping it back into the ground somewhere else, it's going to have to sit on the surface. It's going to be stored or impounded on the surface for up to 3 months to make sure it meets water quality standards. So conservation groups believe that DNRC should have required the mining company to apply for a water use permit for the entire amount, all 263 million gallons, not just the 114 million that they were given a permit for.
Okay. So then how did this question over which water should be regulated land on the desk of the Montana Supreme Court?
Yeah. So those conservation groups, which are led by Trout Unlimited, the national organization in Montana, Trout Unlimited, and they're also working with the Montana Environmental Information Center, Earthworks, and American Rivers, they objected during the permitting process. So they objected to the agency, to DNRC. You know, they argued, like I've said, that they wanted that full amount to be considered in the permit application because they wanted the agency to analyze the impacts of all the water that was going to be pulled out in dewatering, rather than the agency saying, that's off to the side, that's something that we can't even oversee. That's not our business. DNRC went forward with the permit. And they issued the permit only for the 43% of the total water, the part that's just being used for ore processing. So the environmental groups requested judicial review, which sent the matter to a district court. The district court upheld the DNRC, or the state's, issuance of the water use permit. The groups appealed that to the Supreme Court.
Okay. This is not the first time that this mining operation, this proposed mining operation, has been through this process before with these same groups. Can you catch us up on this previous litigation that wrapped up just in February?
Correct. And for anybody listening who wants to dig further into this, Brett French has written a bunch about the case I'm referring to here. So the same groups, they challenged the Department of Environmental Quality's, a different state agency, they challenged DEQ's issuance of the actual mine permit for Tintina, as it was called then, before it changed its name to Sandfire. So they challenged the actual mine permit that permits them to conduct mining. And just like with the water permit, the environmental groups objected to DEQ over the issuance of that mine permit. They were especially worried about the potential environmental impacts of a 72-acre pond of toxic mine tailings that would be at the site. DEQ moved ahead with the mine permit. So the groups, as in this case with the water, they requested judicial review. But with the mine permit, a district court found in that case that DEQ had erred in issuing the permit. So that was a victory for the conservation groups. And in that case, DEQ and Tintina, they were the ones who appealed to the Supreme Court. And in February, the court overturned the district court decision. So they reversed the district court, and they allowed Tintina, now Sandfire, to get their mine permit.
Which, I mean, at the time, that was like a huge hurdle that was preventing them from actually, you know, getting to work on this proposed mine. But still, there's this other issue that needs to be resolved. So let's get to the oral arguments that you reported on. Where are we at now?
Yeah, so that brings us right to this case that's before the Supreme Court. Tintina, as they're named in court documents, they need the water permit to operate because they need to remove water from the mine to actually mine it. And, you know, even just the amount of water that is covered by their permit, which is not even half of the dewatering amount, but would be the water that they use for ore processing, you know, that permit's tied up in this litigation right now. Meanwhile, environmental groups want the DNRC to require Tintina to apply for a water use permit for all the water it will use, which means DNRC has to analyze the effects of all that water being removed. And, you know, in February, when the groups lost their case at the Supreme Court over the mine permit, they said they would still fight the state and Tintina on this water use permit. So this, you know, sitting at the Supreme Court is kind of the final battle of that fight. After the oral arguments, the justices said they would take the matter under advisement, which means they're just going to go back and each consider their positions on it. And at some point in the future, they will release a decision. So all we know right now are, you know, what was said from each side in the oral arguments and what questions the justices asked.
Right. And those opinions from the Supreme Court are not under any deadline. So it's really hard to say when that decision might come down. So before we actually get into the meat and bones of these each side's argument, let's get a quick, and I mean quick, primer on water rights and kind of the permitting structure.
Right. So water in Montana is owned publicly by the state and by the citizens of Montana. It can be used exclusively in large amounts by parties with permits to do so, a water use permit. And those are, you know, those establish water rights. And water rights are largely based on seniority. So older water rights holders take precedent over newer rights holders. Newer rights holders have to make sure their usage doesn't impact those of senior holders. And if it does, they're going to have to curtail their usage. The DNRC prohibits people from wasting water. They also say that anybody using water for a beneficial use needs to apply for a water use permit. That establishes water rights. The agency has had an informal policy of, it's not written in a rule anywhere, but they have treated kind of the variety of activities that one could do with water. I'm not even going to use the word use. The things you could do with water as kind of three areas. At one end of the spectrum, there's waste. At the other end of the spectrum, there's beneficial uses that require a permit. But they've treated things like dewatering a mine where you're not using the water for anything else or doing anything else with the water. They said that's in between. It's neither a beneficial use and it's not waste. So it's a gray zone. So that's how it's been treated so far, and that's the issue here.
Right. That's why it lands onto this definition of use, because however the Supreme Court decides use is defined, that dictates whether that other 57% of the water should be regulated under, you know, DNRC regulations. Okay, so how did conservation groups argue that this was considered a use of the water?
Correct. So one of their primary arguments was that Tintina removing the water from the mine so that they can conduct mining is inherently a beneficial use of water for Tintina, because the act of mining, which benefits the company, could not occur without the water being removed. So essentially, they're saying, hey, you need to remove the water. Whether you do anything else with it afterwards doesn't matter. You need to remove this water from your flooded mine so that you can actually conduct mining. That is a beneficial use for you. Therefore, you need to have a permit for all of it. They also argued that it was plainly obvious that Tintina would be appropriating the water for themselves, which is defined as diverting, impounding, or withdrawing water. You know, they argued that, hey, if you're taking this water and you're making it unavailable to others, you know, you're appropriating it, you're using it, you need to have a permit for this.
Okay, so that second thing is like the idea that you are keeping it out of the system is considered a use of the water.
It's out of the system and you're taken out of the system so that you can achieve something beneficial for you, which is conducting mining activities.
Right.
So, yeah.
Even though that water is not directly, gosh, it is hard to talk about this without using the word use. Even though that water is not actively a part of the mine production. So now let's see, what was the argument presented by, you know, Sandfire, known as Tintina, in this legal argument?
Right. So, you know, they say, sure, the 114 million gallons of the dewatering water that they are then putting towards ore processing, they're like, yeah, that's, we're using it for ore processing. That's a beneficial use. We applied for a permit for it and got it. They say that the rest of the dewatering water, they say that's just water that's unwanted. It's in the way. We're taking it. We're disposing of it elsewhere. We're not actually using the substance of water for anything. We're not, you know, taking the substance of water and applying it to something to benefit us or to, you know. So they're saying that's not use. We're simply taking something that is in our way and moving it somewhere else. That is what the attorney for the mine company argued. And also the attorney for DNRC said that, you know, they have never treated simply diverting water like that as a beneficial use in Montana. He said that, you know, historically the agency has not treated draining a mine as a beneficial use. They called that, and here he called that, an incidental benefit. So, and yeah, that kind of aligned with what the attorney for Tintina said, which is that, you know, the crux of a beneficial use is that you're using the corpus or the body of the water to achieve a beneficial purpose. Whereas in this case, they're just getting it out of their way. And, you know, one of the justice, Jim Shea, you know, he asked, you know, wouldn't it be a beneficial use because you have to remove the water for mining to occur? And the attorney for Tintina said he did not think so. He really did not believe that it was. And then also the attorney for the DNRC worried that there could be significant implications if the court were to side with environmental groups. And, you know, if the use of water is expanded to include more activities than it does now, he worried that city and municipal or town stormwater systems around roads and paths and other infrastructure, that they would suddenly be in violation of the law for not having a permit because they're diverting and impounding stormwater. And if simply, you know, diverting and impounding and then releasing water is suddenly considered a use that needs a permit, that could really create a lot of headaches from a regulatory standpoint. Yeah, Justice Laurie MacKinnon seemed to also be cognizant of that. She wondered, you know, how or if it would be possible to, kind of, as she put it, to thread this needle to not require permits for the universe of water diversion.
I was gonna ask you what your read on the kind of the room was. I would imagine the justices grilled the attorneys for both sides pretty well, or.
They did, definitely. Justice Dirk Sanford, he seemed pretty skeptical of the environmental group's argument that dewatering on its own constituted a use of water. The argument that the environmental groups, continued to hammer on was simply that the dewatering is essential. It's a requirement to conduct underground mining. Therefore, it is a beneficial use of the water for the mining company.
Well, yeah, and I mean, I guess just to reiterate, the Supreme Court doesn't issue those opinions on any sort of schedule or deadline. So we will just have to wait and see how it goes. Thanks, Josh.
Yeah, thank you.
Montana Untamed is a podcast from the newsrooms of Lee Enterprises Montana newspapers. Visit any of our websites or subscribe wherever podcasts are found.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.